Sorry for preempting Transform with Dr. Greg Giffert. My name is Todd Friel. I am the executive director of Fortis Institute. We have the joy of producing Transformed and five other podcasts, all of which are ranked in the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide. Transformed is ranked in the top 0.5% of all podcasts globally. Why is it so popular? It's because it's so biblical and it is so helpful. And I'm preempting the beginning of the program to encourage you, if you have been helped by Transformed, would you consider becoming a gospel partner and supporting us as the year draws to a close? Such a crucial time. We have a match giving campaign, which means your gifts impact will be doubled. So if Transformed has been a blessing, would you please consider blessing us with a year-end gift? You can do that at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Giffert.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Giffert, and today we are discussing Harnessing Technology for the Glory of God, Part 2. Yeah, you heard that right. We've actually been talking a lot about, in this new year, how can we prioritize, how can we plan, how can we use our time, our talents, our treasures to glorify the Lord. Part of that means our technology and thinking biblically about it. I have been very concerned, cautious, careful, creationist, culture. Okay, I ran out of C words, but I've been very concerned about this reality of, I want to ensure that we are thinking biblically and carefully as we enter into a new year. The reality is that our phones are shaping us. In our last episode, I used the idea of the tide. So you've been a part of a current and a river, you've been part of the tide in the ocean. You recognize that technology is much like this tide, where it is actually pulling us in a certain direction. So we have our concerns that we have to be very frank about. And those concerns are legitimately, they're couched in the language of sin, yes, but also relationship skills, and then an appetite that we have to really focus on. I want to pick up with this idea of an appetite, a spiritual appetite. This is where I left off in our last episode. I said, hey, do you ever wonder if the things of this world are actually crowding out your desires for the things of God? So I asked you these questions. How often do you check your email, your text, or social sites before something else that you need to do? How often do you check your email, your text, or social sites when sitting down with friends or family to eat or to be together, or in a meeting or while driving a car? Do you believe you spend an inordinate amount of time and attention on your digital help and happiness device? Do others? How much time do you spend? What specifically do you do with your time on your device and when? Guys, start to ask these questions, because here's what can happen is you actually don't have a hunger for the things of God because you're so full of what technology is bringing into you. Let me give you an analogy, and this comes from a pastor up in Minneapolis. I think this is actually a John Piperism, if I'm not mistaken, that he used the analogy of thinking about a Thanksgiving meal, and in that Thanksgiving meal, we now have a preparation as we're getting ready. So think most of our Thanksgiving meals, we are preparing for Tuesday, Wednesday, and the meal is not actually until Thursday. In my house, we put a ham in the oven and it'll actually bake all Wednesday night. When we wake up, it's ready to go. So think of that Thanksgiving meal. Okay, whenever I am getting ready to sit down for a Thanksgiving meal, if I've actually snacked too much, I'm not hungry for the meal. You guys ever done that? It's like, well, I shouldn't have had the appetizer. Whenever I snack too much, I sit down for a meal and it's like, ooh, I have a couple of bites and I'm full. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Like, you put all of that prep into this beautiful meal and now you're not hungry. Well, no, I'm not hungry because I'm so full of other things. When we go to all-you-can-eat sushi, which is a favorite, by the way, man, I like skip 2 weeks worth of meals. I show up like emaciated. I'm like crawling into the sushi place. Ah, help me. So the reality is that we know in an earthly sense that if I starve myself, then I'm hungry. Well, the reality in a spiritual sense is if you're so full of the world, you will not have a hunger for the things of God. Some of us are so full of social media. We're so full of YouTube. We're so full of Pinterest and Amazon, and we're so full of work and so forth. Honestly, like, it just feels very stale and disingenuous to sit down and read the scripture, because the scripture, even though we know it's beautiful, we know it's true, we know God communicates to us through this, I actually have no appetite for the scripture. So let me give you three categories to start to think through. Okay, if I'm getting kind of full of the world through the means of technology, how can I positively construct something and begin to think about technology? I want you to have three categories for the use of your phones primarily, but the use of technology overall. So I'm going to refer particularly to our phones. First of all, we use our phones for work. And biblically, we know that work is good, and we know that we are also to work hard and diligently as unto the Lord. For many of us, that is not manual labor, but we are in a more like blue collar to white collar position where a lot of our work is office work. So what does that mean? We take phone calls and we get emails. And as much as you might like to work with your hands, I actually would prefer to do emails and phone calls rather than digging a ditch all day. And I'm sure some of you are like, oh yeah, we get it, Dr. Gifford. We feel the same way. Much of our work is actually connected to our phones. So we have emails, phones, text messages. We got to get on some type of app. We're using Slack. There's a Google Meet. Boom, boom, boom. We're jumping around. So work. Listeners, if you are a leader, the reality is that you cannot simply neglect this idea of your phone. As a leader, you have to be connected. Seriously, you have to be connected. So then there's this understanding of, okay, maybe if I'm like a 9-to-5-er, I'm not managing anybody, and there's ever a crisis, no one calls me, then yeah, I can just totally put my phone away. But some of you as leaders, that would actually be unfaithful. Like, we need you to be available to your people. In the context of pastoral ministry, like, I have to have my phone on, not with me all the time, but on, and I can get in touch, or someone can get in touch with me. So in leadership, just remember, like, I have to have that tether to work. And that's true for you. Many of you are working in an environment where you're the leader and you have to have your phone. Second category, the idea of relationships. I want you to see your phone as actually a conduit. Remember, I used that in our last episode, a conduit of cultivating meaningful relationships. So instead of me being like, man, my phone is damaging all relationships, no, actually, you can use your phone to cultivate relationships. Let me give you an easy example. You call people, right? I mean, that should be pretty straightforward. You text people back. Sometimes we'll FaceTime. It's funny because a lot of my students at TMU, they never call anybody and they definitely never leave a voicemail, but they'll FaceTime and they'll walk around FaceTiming. It's like real world with so-and-so. So think of those as individual ways that you're actually cultivating a relationship. And if I said this in a negative way, and this is actually facts, like if I'm a person who can't be, you can't get in touch with me. You text me, I don't respond. You call me, I don't respond. You FaceTime me, I don't respond, then what happens is our relationship is actually strained through that. A secondary category of our phones is that we are connected. Now, you may be a stay-at-home mom watching this or listening to this right now, and you're thinking, yes, Dr. Gifford, that's the primary. Like, I don't have a job that requires me, but I need to have access to my phone so my kids can call me, my parents can call me, my husband can call me. And I would say, yes, you do. You can't just turn it off and do whatever you want to do that day. There are other things that go into relationships, and this is where social media and think of the Instagram, the Facebook. I know TikTok seems random, but TikTok is a thing. Those can actually be means of cultivating relationships. they don't have to be something that's tugging at them or making them artificial or unreal. They can actually be a means of cultivating relationships. I've seen people play online games together. Go for it. So it's not a video game per se. It's actually a time to spend with others doing video games. No problem in my mind. So first category, work. Second category, relationships. And here is the final one that you got to figure out. As you're trying to harness technology for the glory of God, you got to identify this category, hobbies. Many of our interactions with our phone are actually necessary. I need them for work. I need the phone for work. I got to be able to call people, text, email. I need them for relationships. People got to get in touch with me. I got to get in touch with them. My teachers and my kids are calling. Like, I can't just neglect those things. But this last category is the category that most of us feel as being unnecessary. And there is some truth to that. This is the idea of your hobbies. So hobbies that are explored through the use of your phone. For instance, ESPN is not, for most of us, we're not sports analysts, that this is not a requirement for our job. I don't need to know what's going on ESPN. I don't need to know what's going on Pinterest. I don't have to find a Christmas decor and I don't have to spend hours researching that. I don't need to play games. I don't need to watch movies. I don't need to watch videos and YouTubes. Those are all hobbies. So let's take them from this category of all phone is the same use, which is hobbies. Let's take that category and let's move it over and say, yes, some use of the phone is hobbies. But another reality is that some use of the phone is actually legitimate and necessary. What are we talking about? In order to figure out what you're doing, what are you talking about? Are we talking about a hobby or a relationship builder, or are we talking about work? You actually have to stay connected for your work. I would encourage you to start to delineate that way. So in our next segment, I'm going to say, if this is true, if this is your phone, then you can't just get rid of it, you who are leaders, and everything should not be a hobby. You should not be overwhelmed by the use of your phones in hobbies. So how can we now take these next steps? And I'm going to start with your heart motivation. What are you wanting to do? So let's take a short break. Jimmy, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir, and we will be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. Okay, so confession. Yesterday, I watched about 3 hours of YouTube. I did. I honestly watched about 3 hours of YouTube. Here's the ironic part. You can't make this stuff up. The 3 hours that I watched on YouTube was actually about productivity, and I did it while avoiding the actual work that I needed to be doing. Can you spell the irony in that? Just enough self-improvement content to feel productive without actually producing anything. That's what Dr. Gifford is talking about today, and that's what the Masters University is doing today. They're doing something radical about this. They're not banning phones or pretending technology isn't something that exists. And by the way, Dr. Gifford is a professor there. You didn't know that, as well as another one of our fellows, Dr. Adam Tyson. And they're training students to categorize their digital consumption, work, relationships, hobbies, their conscious choices instead of unconscious scrolling. TMU students are learning that spiritual formation requires digital discipline. You get that at the Masters University. And if you have a high school senior looking at what to do next, or you know someone who does, or maybe you yourself are looking to go back to school at whatever age you may be, I can't recommend the Masters University highly enough. You can get the conversation started right now at masters.edu/transformed. Now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been discussing harnessing technology for the glory of God. We are getting close to the new year, or it is the new year, and I want you to be thinking about how can we use our devices in 2026 to glorify God. And I am right there with you. I want to be faithful, and I don't want my life to be dominated by the urgent, but rather living on mission for what God has called me to do. So if you haven't done it already, I would encourage you subscribe to Transform And if you have 10 seconds, give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening. Those reviews actually boost our visibility. Some of you are super familiar with how that works, but then it allows for other people to see the actual episodes and to get the content that Fortis is producing. So thank you so much for those of you that have done that already. It's crazy to see the amount of subscribers and followers and listeners. I am constantly humbled by that. So thank you. So back to our topic at hand. I want you to grab your Bible. If you have it, open it up. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Why do we want to use technology well in the first place? Well, there are technically very disciplined unbelievers that are listening to this and watching this. Maybe not listening. There are disciplined unbelievers that we know. Let's say it that way. I have read about Navy SEALs who are unbelievers. I've read about special forces who are unbelievers. So are we trying to harness technology as another means of our self-indulgence and self-righteousness? And the answer is no, we are not. We should not. From the level of our heart, our prayer is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him, to be pleasing to the Lord. To be pleasing to the Lord is our motivation for why we want to use technology faithfully. That includes stewardship. That includes the things we're actually looking at, the things we're actually sharing. That includes the priorities of our day, and that I'm not neglecting my responsibilities, my relationship with the Lord for the sake of time on my phone. So here we're saying, like, first of all, before we become good legalists for Jesus, let's say, what's our motivation? Well, I want to be pleasing to the Lord. That's the motivation. And these set of rules or principles, they can actually make me more self-righteous if I'm not focused on pleasing Jesus, first of all. So where do we start? We need a new heart to please the Lord and to do that through the work of the gospel. Number two, we should cultivate an appetite for God through intentionality with digital media. If the tide of technology does pull us, then let's anchor ourselves with greater intentionality. So let's ask how we can kind of pull that together. So think, if you're a sailor, you totally get this concept. If you're a surfer, if you're a canoer or kayaker, you get the concept of actually using the current in your favor and using the tide in your favor. How can we use the tide of technology in our favor? Well, let me give you some practical tips to do that. And that's how we'll finish this last episode in this series. First of all, down in the weeds, like I'm getting down, like I see a ladybug, I'm so far down in the weeds right now. First of all, subscribe to good content through social media. You do recognize that as a follower on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever platform you're using, it's a little bit different for Snapchat, but on these primary platforms that you choose to follow content, and that algorithm, that selection actually curates more content for you. So when you follow good content, it actually helps you get more good content. So I'm assuming by now, let's just say you're listening to Better Way, Integrated, Thrive, The Way of Manhood. You're listening to each of those. What happens is that actually tells the algorithms of these different platforms, give me more content like that. And instead of you getting all this grossness, you actually get solid biblical content. So you got to be wise. So subscribe to that. And let me say it in a negative way. Unfollow people and organizations that are vitriolic, impure, and unchristlike. One of the beautiful things about social media is you can actually deplatform someone. And how do you do that? You can unfollow them and you can report their content. So if I want to follow Christian content and biblical content, it's like, let me subscribe. That helps. It keeps the content going and you got it. And then I'm going to unfollow and I'm actually going to report, and I'm going to make it hard for people that are creating this awful content to actually get platformed. So number one, subscribe to good content. Number two, set limits on your phone for how long you are able to use that app. There's a very practical tool where you can set screen time. And that means, like, I could set 15 minutes, I could set 20 minutes, I could set 5 minutes. And on different apps, the apps that you're struggling to be disciplined with, I would say go on there and set a 15-minute time limit. And then you'll get a notification after 15 minutes that, yes, your time on this app is up for today. At that point, you'll have a choice to snooze it or to exit the app. I would never encourage you to get lost doom scrolling, watching Netflix, getting into ESPN. And some of you know, like when you fixate on something, you can lose track of time. So you have to be very careful. I, on the other hand, like I am not perfect in many ways, but there is almost no occasion where I am completely unaware of time. It's like, I know I'm always bound by time and sometimes to a fault. So if you're a person that gets lost in a task, you're very task-oriented, I would say you absolutely need some mechanism to get you out of that. Otherwise, you're going to lose an hour and a half, 2 hours by simply looking through Pinterest designs of random things. Never get lost doing that. So number one, subscribe to good content. Number two, set limits on your phone. Number three, if you're unable to do so with sober-mindedness, then remove it for a season. But remember, that's removing the app, or that is removing YouTube, or that is removing social media, or that is removing ESPN. For those of you that are leaders and your workers, you can't just get rid of your phone. Those of you that have relationships, you can't just get rid of your phone, but you can remove those particular things for a season. And that's what I'm talking about here. The idea is months, not days. So how long do you remove it for? We'll get in the habit of removing it for months, not days. And once you feel like you're ready to reintroduce that, then do so slowly and do your best to steward that carefully. All right, number four, no technology before Bible reading. Okay, as a way of life, I don't want us to look at our phones before we read our Bibles in the morning. And some of you are like, Dr. Gifford, I don't do my Bible reading in the morning. And I say, well, do it in the morning. Like you got it. That's the best time to do it. Wake up 30 minutes earlier and insert that 30 minutes, that 40 minutes of scripture reading. What better way to start your day than to be in the scripture? What worse way to start your day than to open it up and get this deluge of social media, email, calendar tasks? A principle that I fight is that I am not going to check my email before I read the scripture in the morning. I am not going to check social media accounts. I am not going to begin to look into my calendar for the day. And I try not to respond to a text message until I've done my devotions. No technology before Bible reading. And that includes work and that includes relationships. The next thing that I would say is that if you have a hobby that you're practicing, then you get the same amount of Bible reading that you get in your hobby. The same amount of Bible reading, meaning like, okay, I read for 30 minutes this morning, so I get 30 minutes of screen time and just scrolling through Pinterest. So no technology before Bible reading, and you get the same amount of hobby time as you did in your Bible reading. Okay, that was number four. Number five, for those of you with kids, consider this. You have to guard your children copiously with their screen time. And I'm talking about when they're 14 and 15 years old, 16, you're starting to say, okay, you are going to make your own decisions. I'm going to guide you. But if we're talking about an eight-year-old, no, you're setting those and you're setting those pretty directly. You're telling your eight-year-old how much screen time they have. You're having to be diligent to use software and the Apple family account. Remember, I've done a couple of episodes. This was about 3 or 4 months ago in the fall of last year, fall of 2025, when I worked through like how you need to guard your youth's account by basically being the IT person of the house. So this year, if you need to up your game and to get learned in a way of how to help your teenagers and help your kids, I am going to argue that you need to guard your children's access to social media, that there should be no access to social media before 15 years old. Like it's unnecessary. If you're 14 with an Instagram account, you're just asking for it. So we're trying to help our young kids be good stewards of their time. We're trying to help our older kids not actually get into bad stuff and things that are inappropriate. Okay, a couple more things and then I'll be done. Share profitable, edifying information and then use your technology as a means of encouraging others. Guys, some of you just want to grab your phone and chuck it and let's all go do puzzles together. And what I'm arguing is that you can't do that. We don't live in that world. So let's use these categories of professional, hobby, and then personal. And that personal relationship building, answer your phone calls, text people back, use that as an opportunity to be able to serve people. Don't let it hurt. But here's the takeaway. As we enter into this new year, be intentional with your technology. Use it to harness for the glory of God. If you have success stories, I would love to hear them and to share them. Please email them to me at greg@transform.org. Let me pray for us as we're done. Lord, you have given all things as a good gift, and we know that. And we know that phones can be a means of glorifying you. So help us this next year to do that well. Would you use these episodes to stir us up to be intentional? And in the end, help us to get good content, help us to be sound and discipled, but then help us to also be encouragers and to be stewards of content. Give us wisdom. Lord, we know this digital age is not coming to an end. So give us this wisdom so that we can honor you and do a lot of good in this world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.